Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast tour edition from I-5. I'm Shannon Curtis.
Hi, Shannon. I'm Jamie Hill. This is unique.
This is unique.
Haven't done this before.
When I say from I-5, what I mean by that is that we are currently driving on Interstate 5 in California.
Oh, yeah. We just crossed through the grapevine. I'm trying to get your guy closer to your mouth.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
It's okay. We're going to keep talking, though, people. So, hey, to paint the picture for you, we just left Los Angeles about 90 minutes ago. We went over the grapevine. That's the sort of mountain range that separates the Los Angeles basin from the Central Valley of California. We have just entered the Central Valley of California, and we have the cruise control set at 76 miles an hour. It's a really typical Central Valley day. Sunny, beautiful, 97 degrees, hazy. And we're doing a podcast in the car.
Jamie's driving. I'm in the passenger seat.
Your mic sounds a lot better.
We've got a great headset. Good. Mics are on. Mm-hmm. And Jamie's got one ear off. So technically it's all
this is legal,
on the
officer.
Up and up. Yeah.
But hey, look, if we get pulled over because I have a headset on, it's cool because we have expired tags.
Yeah, that's something we realized yesterday. Actually, the tags are expired, but we are good. We actually re-registered the car last night from the hotel room.
Did it online. Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
It's retroactive. They didn't send us
a
reminder.
Do we even know what we're doing? We don't even know what we're doing.
Totally amateurs.
Yeah, anyway. But welcome to our podcast from I-5.
Oh, yeah.
This is our second podcast from tour. And we've got so much to talk about.
Yeah.
But before we do that...
Yes, I want to welcome all of our new subscribers and all of our new listeners. We've had a lot of new listeners this week. And this is because we're on tour and we have these Misfit Stars postcards that we're passing out at the show.
Yeah.
And people seem real interested. And they've been taking it and they've been listening, it seems like.
Thank you. That's really cool.
Our statistics are way up.
Well, that's fun.
I got the statistic yesterday. I didn't tell you this.
No.
They were up like 25% from the week before. Yeah.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it's really nifty. And so, hello, new listeners.
Welcome.
We hope we're not disappointing you terribly yet. I'm sure it'll happen. And new subscribers, thank you. Because that's part of the deal, right? If you're one of the new listeners, here's the deal. This podcast, if you choose it to be, can be another little way to support what Shannon and I are doing. So if you like what we're doing, if you like who we are in the world, you can just go to misfitstars.com/join. And it's like basically a $5 a month subscription kind of thing that you can do. So basically, like, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know, I have $5 and I would very much like for Jamie and Shannon to have those $5. First of all, thank you. That's so kind of you. And second of all, just go to misfitstars.com/join. It's easy to do and you'll be supporting the podcast and us. And that's awesome. And thanks.
And some of the things that you will get for that supporting membership is that you will have access to all of our members' exclusive episodes, of which every other episode is... And I messed up that sentence.
Yeah.
Every other episode is an exclusive episode for our members.
Good job. Yeah. All you would have had to say is one, of which every other episode is one.
Thank you.
But what can you do?
You know, I'm on tour brain. It's all good. Yeah. But you get that. You also get access to our private online group inside Facebook.
Which is so great.
Which is a wonderful group of people getting to know each other from all over the globe, really.
Yeah. And it's sort of like a kind of a what you might call a safe space
yeah.
in the vernacular of the day. But to put it more seriously, it's just like it's a safe environment where people aren't jerks like sometimes can happen online. It's just a self-selecting group of people who want to have more intentional discussions about things.
Yeah, totally.
And, cool.
We take listener topic discussions from that group of people.
Yeah.
We call you our stars. It's
yes,
all
we do.
Good. So misfitstars.com/join. Is that what you said?
That's right.
That's a new link. That's new.
I set that up. No big deal. Don't want to brag, but I went on the back end of misfitstars.com and set that up.
Sounds like bragging.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, later on in this episode...
Who's a web admin?
Yeah, you.
Actually, it's who's your web admin?
That's right. Later on in this episode, we're going to have a fun discussion because earlier today, before we left Southern California, we went back to South Pasadena, the town in which we lived for 8 years.
A really formative place in our life.
It was the last place we lived before moving to Tacoma, Washington 18 months ago. And this is the first time we've been back there.
Yeah.
And it brought up all kinds of feelings.
And they were good and it was great.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. And the, sort of what the idea of home means and all that kind of stuff. It's going to be fun. So that's after the break.
Yeah.
But so, before the break.
So yes, what did we get into this week?
Tour and more tour.
Tour and more tour.
It's been so good though. So good.
Yeah.
So maybe we should just like start like breaking down like some interactions we had with folks.
Show by show?
Each of the shows we did so this week. Yeah. So last week we had a show in Ione, California. And if you don't know where Ione, California is.
Join the club.
Yeah. Right. It is in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas.
It's
kind of
beautiful.
Like between the Central Valley and the Sierra Nevadas, essentially. And it's just hill country. It's what you would call like gold country.
Yeah.
If you read, if you remember your history, American history from like the 1849 gold rush and all that kind of stuff.
It's the reason the Niners are called the Niners, football fans.
That's right. The 49ers. But yeah, all that gold rush history. And I mean, I grew up not far from there.
Yeah.
Stockton, California, my hometown is, it was not far from there. And we would spend, you know, weekends going up into the foothills. My dad was on like a gold panning kick for a while. So we'd go up into gold country.
It's like the original California get rich quick scheme.
It totally is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can still find gold up there as a thing.
Well, you know, we found stuff from time to time. My dad had this little vial filled with water that had little gold flakes, and every once in a while we'd find a little nugget. It was pretty fun.
Remember hearing that story like 10 years ago of those people somewhere in the Central Valley, Modesto or something, who were like digging out to make a basement and they came across like a 20-pound gold thing?
Oh, yeah. I do vaguely.
And all of a sudden
that.
They're like multimillionaires.
Amazing.
It can happen.
So Ione is in gold country. It is beautiful. It is quintessential, you know, Northern California, rolling golden grassy hills with oak trees everywhere.
So beautiful.
I posted this on Facebook last week, but it's interesting. Like that scene, that those golden hills and oak trees for me, just is a definition of home for me, because having grown up in that area when I was a kid, I think I probably thought that the whole world looked like that.
Sure,
you know, because that's just what I saw.
Yeah.
But now that we've traveled all over the country, I realize that Northern California really has its, like, there's nowhere else that looks like that.
No.
You know, it's very unique.
Man, you really touched on something there for me. So unlike you, I grew up right in the Northeast.
Uh-huh.
And so, like you, I thought that the place where I grew up is what everywhere else looked like, which is to say, very broadly speaking, it's, you know, green in the spring and summertime.
Right.
And brown in the fall through winter. So imagine my shock and surprise in 1995 when I moved to California. And we got there in the summertime, and we took our first drive, my girlfriend at the time and I. Shout out to Sarah Thomas.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. And we got up into the Northern California hills, and they were brown because it was like August. And I was like, what's going on? It just looked alien and weird to me.
That's
because,
so
I mean, now it looks alien and weird to me when I see green stuff in the summer because I've lived in California my entire adult life. But at that time, I was 22. It was the first time I'd seen it. It was very, very striking.
It really says something about perspective and what you know and the assumptions you make based on what you know before you've explored new perspectives, right?
That's profound.
It really wasn't that
And
profound.
Hey, good episode. Okay.
Well, Ione. So this is our second time doing a house concert with this family in Ione.
Yep.
And, you know, it's essentially in the country. You know what I mean?
Like it's rural.
It's a rural area. Yeah. And I was remarking this to you as we were leaving there last week, like, how cool is it that we have found this group of people that feel like our people in the middle of nowhere, California, Ione? You know, like, who would have thunk it? And, you know, again, this goes to, like, the assumptions we make about places and, you know, how cool there's this vibrant community of people who are seeking out experiences to connect with other humans and connect around meaningful ideas and conversations, and who are just looking for more in their lives. You know, like, it was such a cool night. We had such a great time last year when we were there, and I was hoping and praying that our hosts Jenny and Molly would invite us back, and they did.
Yeah.
And it was so wonderful to go back and do it again.
And we should note, by the way, that Jenny and Molly, they just sound like grown-up regular names. No.
Mom and daughter.
Molly is like 14. No, 16. She drives. 16. She's 16.
Yeah.
Sorry, Molly. and she's a total badass old soul. You know what I mean? She's like, she's the kind of 16-year-old who can capably co-host a house concert with her mom. And, like, not every 16-year-old is there at all, you know?
That's so true.
She's just a rad human being.
And so is Jenny.
Yeah,
and it's
both
not a surprise
that
those two, apple didn't fall far from that tree.
No, not at all.
Wonderful people. And I had some wonderful interactions with folks that night. Actually, this is a fun story to tell. The reason that we know Jenny is because she came to a house concert hosted a couple years ago by our friend April.
That's
who
right.
Who lives in Valley Springs, another like foothill town.
Another improbable place to find a kindred spirit.
Yes, absolutely. Well, April, we met April because she came to a house concert that our friend Aaron had hosted in Stockton a number of years ago. And Aaron, because April and Aaron worked together, right? We met Aaron because she came to a house concert way back in 2013. Our second year doing house concerts, right?
Yeah.
Back in 2013, she came to a house concert hosted by my friend Melissa, who I've known since the fifth grade when she moved into town and started going to my school.
It's so wild.
So I just love that story because it's just like, you never know. I mean, this is just in terms of like people connections,
sure.
but also in terms of like life. You never know when you open one door where that is going to lead and how many other doors you get to go through. You know, in this case, we've made this series of friends, you know, going down the line throughout through these women's lives, you know, because each of them said, come into my life. Yes. Come in. Let's do this. Let's do a fun, special thing together. And we've been enriched for it.
Yeah, we have.
And how cool is that?
Oh, it's remarkable. It's amazing. And it's funny. It almost makes me think of like the sponsorship model in 12-step programs.
Oh,
you know, AA,
really?
Whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, like you plant a seed with one person and they plant it with another person and they plant it with another person. And it can all happen sort of rapidly. It's not over a series of 15-year like generations or whatever. It can be over a year or 2 years, you know? I mean, in a certain way, like Melissa is like the great, 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 great grandfather, grandmother of this concert that we did in Ione.
It's so true.
You know, like she's directly responsible for that.
She is.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's that whole like Coriolis effect butterfly wing sort of thing. You know, the ripple that she caused by throwing her rock into our pond.
That's right.
Caused this interaction that we had this last week.
That was very profound.
Wow.
End of pod.
This is a profound as heck podcast already. We should do it on I-5 more.
Well, I was going to say the reason that I even thought of that story is that April, who was in that succession of house concert hosts, was in attendance at Molly and Jenny's, Jenny and Molly's, the other night. And I had a great conversation with her. She shared with me this really interesting thing because I was wearing all white that night, like had white pants and a white blouse on.
Yeah.
And she said that
Side note, matching shades of white, but they look matching in the photos.
That's all that matters.
Yep. Yeah.
You're giving away my secrets. Shh. So April was saying that she's like, oh, I see that you're wearing all white. She goes, I was just yesterday was listening to a guru that she was recommending, Sadguru. I'm going to say his name wrong.
Don't even bother.
Mess it all up.
Yeah.
But she said that he was saying that spiritual leaders often wear all white. Mm-hmm. And the reason for this, and I'm not saying that this means... I'm a spiritual leader, but it's proof.
Hey.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
Right.
But she was saying that he was talking about this because spiritual leaders wear white because the color white is not really a color, right? It's the absence of all colors. It's all colors being reflected back to the seer, right?
Yeah.
Black, as the opposite of that, absorbs all the colors.
That's right. And reflects none of them.
And you can feel the difference when you're wearing white versus black when it's a sunny day, right? You feel really hot.
That's
when
right.
When you're wearing black, because it absorbs all that energy, whereas white reflects it back out. And so she was saying that he said that spiritual leaders wear all white as a representation of the idea that who they are in the world are people who reflect back all of that sunlight and energy to the people around them.
Yeah.
And it was just such a lovely thought, and I held on to that thought because I really feel like performing music for me, my relationship to music over the years has really shifted and changed, and you know, I'm constantly trying to find my place in it and what it means to me, right? I'm sure at some point back when I was a young woman, I thought it was because I wanted to be on stage and perform and that was fun, or that maybe people would recognize me for it. But like that part of it, that is meaningless to me now.
Yeah,
that is done now. Really, the purpose I feel like in my life right now that music serves is a container for which I get to do this thing that I consider to be my spiritual practice.
Right.
And that is to offer myself to whomever is there to listen with as open hands and as open a heart as I can, mm-hmm. as a way to be of service to them, yep. whether that be to comfort them or to give them joy or to help them see things a little differently than they have before, mm-hmm. or to help them experience a new sense of possibility, yeah. whatever it might be.
Something that happens sort of peripherally to the concert that's not even related to the concert at all, you know?
Yeah,
like,
oh, absolutely.
Sometimes the thing can be the conversation that happens after. And it's nothing to do with the music at all. Oh. It's just that the music has sort of opened a place where that can happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So it was a really interesting metaphor, you know, this idea that, like, I told April, I'm going to actually think about this when I'm getting dressed on tour this summer. Like, I brought a lot of white things to wear. They're not all white. But I really am going to kind of think about that as I'm preparing for each show, that, like, my purpose here is centered around the idea of reflecting back and offering this, you know, energy to the people who have gathered. So thank you for that, April. That was a really lovely
nugget
for me to hold on to. Yeah. That's going to be my intention and my goal for this year.
Your mantra.
My mantra, yes.
I'm into it. That's really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of the conversations after that show were just lovely. People hung around forever. It was in the middle of the week. It was a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Is that right? No, Wednesday. It was a Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
And people hung out forever. It was so much fun.
Including some of the kids. There were like some 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids there, which was really great.
I love that.
And it wasn't just like they were kind of there, but then they dipped out to play video games and they were just sort of hanging around but not part of it. They like spent time, they hung out for the entire concert and then hung out afterwards talking with us and hanging out with the grown-ups.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
It was really cool.
It was really cool. One of the conversations that I had with a young woman named Maya, she was sharing with me, it's one of the first songs in the set is the song Glorious, which is the first song on the new record.
Yep.
And she shared with me that she is looking for what her next sunset pulling her forward is in her life. You know, she's got a couple of kids, and she's in a place where she's looking for what her personal passion is next. You know, the thing that keeps her going on the days when it's harder to keep going.
Yeah.
And that was just really lovely that she kind of like shared with me that was something that she was going to take away from the experience. It was really cool.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah. I love when people intentionally pick up on language from the show to then use in the conversation they have with you afterward.
It's very rewarding.
It's so rewarding.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And someone else, her friend Kelsey, who was with her, shared that she just was appreciative of the opportunity to just be present.
Yes,
in the present
right.
moment that night, because she has a kid who has special needs, and she's constantly having to keep track of his, you know, health concerns.
Sure.
And so her mind is filled with, gotta remember this, gotta check that, gotta, you know, make sure this is on track. And
all of the time.
All of the time. It doesn't shut off. And so she was sharing how she really appreciated a moment to just be.
Oh, that's great.
And that was really lovely.
Well, and I think that you in this show are very much, just through the way you're performing it and the way the storytelling goes, encouraging sort of deeper reflection in that way.
Cool.
Something interesting that I've realized about the show in that regard is that there's a couple of moments during the show where one thing kind of blends into another. Maybe I'll do like a sound effect-y thing to tie things together, or you'll just elide two songs together. And what that does is it kind of gets people off of the hamster wheel of song, clap, song, clap, you know, which can really just start to feel kind of repetitive. And like when you just have to hold that space, it really also makes you kind of hold that energy.
Oh, for sure.
There's no dissipation,
there's no,
you know,
and
you
release.
Can just, it's really cool, and I think it really encourages people just to be a little bit more reflective in this completely like unspoken way.
Yeah.
Which I think is nifty.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Love it.
I had a really really nice conversation with somebody at that same show, actually.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I did, and it was, as sometimes happens with me at shows, a sobriety-related conversation.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. And it was specifically a person like who we've known for a number of years and who we've seen sort of, you know, on again, off again at shows. And we see her on Facebook. And it was her saying to me that, like, after a long time fighting this quietly, I am making a run at sobriety.
Mm.
And did I have any thoughts? Which was amazing, right? Which I love. I mean, for so many reasons. I love that, like, a certain part of my life now, just because I'm so out there about it, is that people know that they can talk with me about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing.
Can I interject something here?
Yeah, of course.
Just because we might not bring it up later, and this seems like a good time to do it. Another thing that happened this week in the midst of our tour is that you had your 15th sober birthday.
I did!
On, what was it?
Thursday.
On Thursday, yeah.
So it was like the eve of that is when I got to have this really wonderful kind of almost passing it down to somebody else type of conversation, you know?
Yeah. And by the way, congratulations.
Oh my gosh,
I'm happy
so
for you and I'm proud of you. And
thank you.
I can't imagine doing life with somebody who hasn't done the work like you have.
Oh, well, hey, right.
Just living in the bounty that
right
comes
back with
at
it. You. Yeah. And you're right. You're absolutely right about that. I am a shining example of living in bounty, you know? and it's true. Just like my life has gotten really, really good. Not in any special or flashy way, just in a lack of drama and a lack of bad things and like a lack of homelessness and a lack of making poor decisions.
Right.
You know, it's amazing.
Right.
You know, it's funny. I tend around my sober birthday and around my half sober birthday, which is right around the holidays, to write about it and put it on Facebook and write a thing. I haven't done that yet, as you may have noticed.
I have noticed.
You know, and part of it is just that we had a really busy weekend.
Yeah.
But also part of it is that I've really just been using the time to take a moment to just kind of reflect and just really like sit with like, what does it mean? Like,
what does 15 years mean?
What does 15 years mean? And how do I feel, really? I mean, it's what it means. I don't even know if that's the right question. It means the same thing it meant at 14 and 13 and 2 and 1 and you know.
5 days.
Yeah, it's amazing. It means a wholesale transformation in how you live and orient your life. And that's huge. But, like, you know, just taking the opportunity, the milestone to just, like, just think about how I feel, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Something I've realized, and you and I were talking about this, I think, with a couple of different people over this last weekend. We had some long, deep conversations this weekend.
It happens.
I think that I've been feeling oddly contented.
Mm.
Like, oddly content.
Mm.
Starting off this tour, you know?
Me too.
Yeah.
You go first and I have something to say about this too. So
yeah.
You first.
Okay, sure. So, for me, something I've really noticed, and I only really noticed it retrospectively, thinking about last year and the difference between last year and this year. Last year, like, I was kind of at the end of my rope going into tour. We both were.
Oh, for sure.
It was really, it was a hard year. It was an amazing year, but the stress of moving, it's a good stress, but it's still a stress,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just all the newness and all the frantic, like, everything was new. Everything was different and new and strange and uncomfortable and unfamiliar in the best of ways, but it still was. And then, you know, having to rush through a couple of different albums, and you know, we made the Gibbons' record, made your record, threw everything in the car and went on tour, and we had no time before. We could have used another week. We didn't have it. And it was just this kind of thing where, like, we just kept sleeping less and less and less,
yeah.
you know?
Because
we needed that extra week, but the way we got the extra work week is we just slept 7 hours, then six, then four, then two.
It was brutal.
It was really brutal. And so this year, we actually were able to more or less pace out what we were doing, and we were prepared for it, and we're very comfortable now in the place where we live, and everything that was new and sort of stressful in a positive way last mm-hmm. year was not this year.
It's kind of broken in and more cozy.
Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. so much so, you know? And so I just, it's weird. And also, like, I've just had this sense of abundance since we moved. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, California, for all its wonders, can be a stressful place. You know, there's a lot of financial stress. There's a lot of homelessness. I mean, there is where we live,
That's
too.
True.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it just seems like there's more comfort and ease. I don't know if it's just because, like, we moved into a new situation and we feel rejuvenated. I don't know exactly what the dynamic is there.
Interesting.
But I feel like I just haven't worried so much since we left since we left California.
And you're feeling good now,
and
too.
And I'm feeling great now, you know? Like, I just am finding myself interacting in a more casual and chill way with people at shows.
Great.
You know? Which should always have been the goal, and which sometimes I achieve. But sometimes I think I was just, like, worrying about how the show would go, worrying about how people would be, worrying about how the tour would be.
Mm-hmm.
All really things that I can't control, you know?
Right.
But it's just been really nice for me to notice, just to feel like I just feel like I can just let things go and be whatever they will be, and I'm just not worried about how anything's going to turn out.
That's great.
You know, I mean,
I
that could change. That may change. I leave
sure.
space for it too. I hope it doesn't.
Well, and it's nice to be able to acknowledge that's where you're at right now too.
Yeah.
That this is when we ever since we left for a tour. Actually, also I've also had this just general sense of well-being. Like, that's kind of the bestest phrase to describe it. Like,
so what's it for
I'm
you?
I'm content. You know, I can't really tell you why, But what I can tell you about that feeling is that there have been a lot of times in my life when I have experienced that feeling or noticed that I'm feeling that way, and then I don't want to admit it or say it out loud because I am afraid that maybe I'll jinx it. You know, like, and I,
one of the people you follow has a term for that, don't they?
Yes, Brené Brown calls this foreboding joy. And she's just got so many great things to say, but this is one of the things when I heard her talk about this several years ago now, I wrote the song Yellow Lines. Yellow Line about that. About this idea that, you know, the idea that, like, when that joy can be a very vulnerable feeling to have because you want to relish it, and then our brains oftentimes do that thing where they're like, oh, but when's this going to end? Yeah. When's the other shoe going to drop?
Sure.
You know, and then it robs you of actually being able to be present in that moment of joy. So joy can be one of the most vulnerable feelings is what she says, and that it's foreboding joy.
You wouldn't think, right?
But right?
It's so true.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that people listening can relate. Like, when I heard her say that, I'm like, oh my God, yes, I do that too.
Yeah. It's the same thing that makes you, like, not want to talk about good stuff with people.
Right.
Or if you do, to be like, knock on wood, or...
Exactly.
You know, try to minimize it somehow, or deflect it.
So you can protect yourself from feeling the devastation when it goes away, or when... Yeah. So I was...
It's just another exercise in trying to control the future, isn't it?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. So... But the other day, like when we were like a couple days into tour, maybe it was even day one of the tour. We were like on a long drive that day, and I was just feeling good, and we had not been really talking for a little bit of the stretch of the drive.
One of the nice things about the beginning of tour is that it almost feels like a break sometimes.
Yeah, totally.
Just to can be in the car, not to talk. It's
totally.
Great.
So we weren't talking for a little while on that stretch, and for a lot of that stretch, I was thinking to myself, actually, I feel really good. You know, and I was debating whether or not to say those words out loud to you, but I did. I shared them, and you responded with, me too. And you know what? The next thought didn't come. The next, like, oh my God, when's the other shoe going to drop? It didn't come. I somehow, and I don't know why this is the case, but I'm grateful for the fact that I feel like I've been able to live in that space and not move from it. I really do just continue to feel a general sense of well-being, and you know, ideally that would be something that a person could achieve no matter what the circumstances are.
Well,
right?
I wonder if, like, that's what acceptance and living in the idea of abundance look like.
Maybe
like,
so.
I wonder if that's where the rubber meets the road with that.
Maybe so.
Like, no circumstance in our life has materially changed.
No.
Nothing is different now than it was 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Really, you know?
And I have to say also, you know, I think that probably that feeling has been fed and encouraged by all of the just amazing and wonderful people that we've encountered so far on the tour. You know, like, really, they have been, every show so far has been just a meaningful, connective, soul-filling experience, you know, with people who are there, who are looking to make those kinds of connections and meaning with each other also.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just, that is so incredibly rewarding.
You know what's interesting to me in that regard is that, like, we've been much more intentional this year in, like, the verbiage that we have crafted around what the house concert is.
Oh, mm-hmm.
The verbiage that we give to the house concert hosts to put out to their people, that verbiage talks really specifically about this intentionality.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder if people are coming with
more.
That idea in mind.
Maybe so.
More, and, like, it's just easier to access because you're primed for it.
Yeah, and also for some of it is that we've been doing this now. This is our eighth year doing this, so some people have been around for a while. And this is actually a great way, I think, to transition to talking about the second show of the weekend of this last week, San Diego show number one with our dear friends, Chayton and Melissa.
Yeah.
And we can talk about Chayton and Melissa in a minute, but one of the couples that came to the show is a couple that has been to numerous of our house concerts over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And the conversation that they and I shared after the concert was they brought up this idea of foreboding joy with me. They remembered me having talked about that on the tour when we did Yellow Line, the song Yellow Line. That's from Connections, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which
was 4 years ago, but it seems like a million years ago.
It does seem like a million years ago. So they brought that up, and they said, we've really been thinking a lot about that this last year, because they both started some new businesses, essentially.
Right.
She's a doctor, and she transitioned from working at a VA hospital to doing work from home where she's doing video conferencing for patients who live in rural areas who don't have access to the kind of specialty that she does.
That is a way in which technology could do so much good.
Yeah,
oh my
totally.
Gosh.
So, but it's a scary transition to change into something new like that.
Sure.
And her husband has been making a change also, starting a home-based consulting business, I believe. Both starting new things, feeling really good about them, but they shared with me how they were sort of grappling with that idea of foreboding joy. Like, yes, things are going well, and they're trying to live in that moment still. But it was lovely that they brought that up as an idea that they had remembered for a concert 4 years ago, you know, which is really lovely. And that sort of is an example of you know, this show, this community of people who came to San Diego show number one. A good handful of them were people who we've seen over the years, mm-hmm. At other shows and have stuck around. The people who have stuck around from those previous shows, I think are the ones who are like, yeah, I want to go make some meaningful memories with some friends, you know, and who aren't just there for, oh, it's entertaining
and
we're going to have wine, you know? So I really love that sort of the folks that are after that kind of stuff have, you know, stuck around and they were there. It was wonderful to see all of them. So that was really neat. But Chaitin and Melissa, you should talk about where we met them and how we know them and what kind of wonderful, fun conversations we got to have with them this weekend.
So this was just another one of these like serendipitous series of connections kind of thing. Sort of like we were talking about before with what led up to the Ione concert. It was like that. So for like a decade plus now, I have been a member of an online, just like an email music industry, just like it's a mailing list. It's a discussion group, you know? And I met a woman on there named Bryn.
Hi, Bryn.
Who is our dear friend. Her name's Bryn Boughton. And she is a music industry veteran and a serial entrepreneur. And, you know, so she was on the list. I was on the list. And there was a period of time in like 2012 through 2013 where she sort of managed me a bit. It was kind of like, it wasn't the most formal arrangement. It was really neat. Like, she just introduced me to some people. And I would say that the people to whom she introduced me that had the most impact on my life would be the people in this band, Mosaic Quartet.
Yeah.
And so, so Chaitin and Melissa were two of the four. The other two are still very dear friends, Patrick and Jonathan, JB, who we saw the other night
and
with his amazing wife, Farah. Total side note, but they have the freaking cutest little baby girl who is just learning how to talk, and Shannon posted something about jacaranda trees, and Farah was like, wait, you need to see how my daughter says jacaranda, and made a little video of it, and oh my gosh, like, you gotta go to Shannon's timeline and just like scroll until you find it. It's the post that Shannon did about the jacaranda trees. If you see a picture of purple trees, look in the comments. There's a video in there that will make your heart melt.
Jacaranda.
But she says it so soberly and seriously, like it becomes a reflective moment
for
her.
I know, it's really wonderful.
Jacaranda.
Yeah.
So, Chaitin and Melissa. So I met them like in early 2013,
mm-hmm.
and we all made a record together. And it was a really cool thing. They had a budget to make a record. Like, they had taken it really seriously and fundraised and gotten themselves together a really good album making budget. So we got to rent like a really good recording studio, like the best recording studio in San Diego, a place where U2 had recorded in the past and Blink-182 and just all these like big famous bands. It's that caliber of studio.
Mm-hmm.
We got to take it over for 8 days, lock it out for 8 days. Lockout means that we leave our stuff set up and just come in and out whenever we want, which meant I could work until, I worked from like 10 in the morning until 1 a.m., you know?
Because that's how you do.
Why wouldn't I? That's how I do even in our house, but especially in a place like that. It's like a playground. They have great mics and great equipment. It's like, wow, how fun for me.
Yeah, it's a great sounding record.
Yeah, and it's a really good record because they wrote really good songs and they were really passionate about them. They were doing a really
And they're
sort
all
of,
super great musicians,
other
too.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah. There's three, like, concert caliber classical piano players in that band.
Yeah.
Patrick was the only one who wasn't. And he is like
a
really
drummer.
Great drummer. Almost like a jam band / jazz kind of thing. But they were more of an indie rock band, but he had that kind of really like just adding little accents in all over the place thing that makes music so interesting. And he's also a guitar player and can play bass, and like everyone was a multi-instrumentalist. Everyone's just like a talented musician.
Mm-hmm.
Those really annoying kinds of people who can just pick up an instrument in like 3 minutes, be like, here's a cool thing I can do with
this.
Me off. Yeah, it's no good. Terrible. So I've been making music with these people now, Chaitin and Melissa specifically.
In many iterations since then. The Mosaic Quartet doesn't exist anymore as a band.
And hasn't for years now.
But Chaitin and Melissa have continued to sort of like, they're on a path toward finding, you know, the expression that suits them best, you know? And it's been so much fun to like see them on the path. They started another band a few years ago called Skyterra.
Yeah.
And really dove into a whole new area of doing stuff. Melissa, turns out, is like such an incredible synth player.
Yeah. Like, sound designer. Yeah.
Yeah.
She like paints with sound collages that she programs sounds for on
Don't
synthesizers.
Don't they call her a synth painter?
Sound painter.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's probably not me saying that. I think that's them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so accurate.
Yes.
Washes of color.
And she's also one of these annoying people who can pick up an instrument. So she just picked up the bass a while. For Mosaic Quartet, she picked up the bass, right?
Yeah.
And became this great bass player. And while we were there this weekend, she was figuring out how to use a violin bow on her bass to make new sounds.
Yeah, and she had got herself some rosewood and sawed it down into a bridge. She built herself a bridge to turn her bass into essentially a cello. So the strings had some curvature to how they were arranged. Yeah. You could access all four of them. Like, who does that?
She does. And she's also branched out into visual art.
Yeah.
And her paintings are gorgeous. They're all over their house. And I was just so inspired to spend time with them. We haven't seen them in person in probably a couple of years now. Is that right? A couple of years?
Yeah.
I think so.
Is that a rainbow up there?
There is a rainbow in the sky ahead of us on I-5. I will try to snap a picture that we can post later.
It's like a small circular rainbow.
It is remarkable.
On a non-rainy day.
I'm not even sure it's going to come through, but yeah.
Maybe it's the rapture.
Maybe we're going to not be raptured right now.
Yeah, if it would mean I didn't have to be in the Central Valley anymore, that would be something.
Oh, no. I-5 is long and boring, everybody.
Yeah.
But so anyway, it was so great to be with them. Just hearing that they've also begun this whole other business with music teaching. They've got a piano academy in San Diego.
Yep, they're both teachers at that.
And it's going gangbusters. We met a few of their students at the concert the other night, which was wonderful. They've started this whole online course for music mastery as well.
Yeah.
It's just so exciting to see them really pursuing hard, like going hard after these ideas they have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really true.
And really just diving in head first.
Yeah.
It's inspiring to be around them, and it was really just cool to be in their environment and immersed in what they're all about. And just an honor also to be invited into their world to do what we do for them and their people.
And they really embraced it too.
They were like, such great hosts.
They did a kick-ass house concert.
Yeah.
And like the way they like communicated around it, and then just the way that they sort of helped shepherd their people through the night on the evening of their concert, you know, was just really cool. Like
totally
they set
cool.
a really great environment for it. They made a really good container, and it was really cool.
Yep.
And it's really interesting because, like, especially with them coming from more of like a, you know, like avant-garde rock band kind of thing, like back in the day there used to be much more of like a party element around what they did, which is understandable. Everyone was in their 20s and it was exciting rock and roll, young people in the city, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to see them have successfully transitioned with a lot of the same people into kind of a next phase is really wonderful, you know. There's just so much more focused intentionality now around like who they are as humans, what they're bringing to music as it relates to their lives and the business side of it, but also just in like what they want to share with their friends and how they want to use it to communicate emotion. Like it's a big deal.
Yeah. One of the things I love about them too is how their lives are really a big part of their lives is about passing on music to the next generation, you know, like clearly, you know, teaching piano lessons is a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Their online program. But a couple of their students were at the concert. There was one that you talked with, right? That's learning Pro Tools from Melissa.
Yeah, which is amazing because I taught Pro Tools to Chaitin. Chaitin taught Pro Tools, I'm sure, to Melissa.
By the way, if you're listening, you're like, what is Pro Tools? It's the music recording software that we use to make records.
And like it's aptly named, right? Like if you go into any recording studio in the world, pretty much they'll have Pro Tools. And they may have something else, but Pro Tools is kind of, it's like speaking English. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
So how old was this kid?
like 15.
Like, so this 15-year-old is learning Pro Tools from Melissa. I just absolutely
she thought, and I asked her about that. I quizzed her about that. I was like, what's up with that? And she's like, well, just with what he's into in music, I thought that it might just be another way to sort of get at what he likes about music.
Uh-huh.
So it's cool. Like, she's not teaching classical piano. I mean, she is. That's an entry point, right? But, like, she's just teaching the musician.
Right. Right, whatever paths that musician might be interested in sort of sniffing down and following.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
It's cool.
You know, that's really avant-garde. Like, just conceptually, like, okay, yeah, you're here with me for piano, but I sense another need in you, so what if you did this?
Yeah, that's you know? Really cool.
What if we did the computer instead of the piano?
Yeah.
Like, how many classical piano teachers do you know who do that?
Not, mine did not. She was in her 80s, and her name was Mrs. Minor. And
mine was in her 90s.
Oh, but she was very by the book.
Yeah.
I just love that her name was Mrs. Minor.
I know. Was it Minor?
You know, I can't remember.
Or ER.
I don't remember.
I want to say OR. Let's just say OR.
Let's just say it was OR, like the music phrase, of course. Yeah. Well, that was not our only night in San Diego. We get to spend two whole wonderful nights in San Diego.
Yeah.
The second of which was a concert hosted by another mom and daughter team.
I know.
Tammy
and Jamie.
I was thinking Jenny and Molly again. I was going to say Molly. No, Tammy and Jamie.
Yeah.
Who are just the sweetest humans on the face of the planet. Oh, my goodness. And
yeah, it's really true.
You know, earlier we mentioned about, like, the idea of people, you know, taking runners and opening doors and doing risky, fun things, and that, you know, we've gotten to build neat friendships with them over time. This is an example of that also. So this is our second time at Tammy and Jamie's house.
Yeah.
Last year we were there, and when we showed up at their door last year...
we'd never met them.
We'd never met them in person before.
They'd never been to a concert.
Nope. But she invited us to host to do a house concert at her place because a friend of ours, our mutual friend Jimmy, had posted about our house concert tour on Facebook, and Tammy was like, "This is something we should do. Jamie, you want to do this?" And so she reached out and did this house concert thing without ever having been to any house concert before, let alone never having met us or come to one of ours.
When I get up front to say hi before you start the show, every show, I always get up front, and I always just do a show of hands, like, hey, who's at their first house concert? Last year, they raised their hands.
I know. And how incredible. I'm so inspired by that spirit of...
Seriously.
Just, you know, finding, you know...
Being
curious and saying yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing that, Tammy, because we have been the beneficiaries of such wonderful connection with you and Jamie and your group of friends, and also the warm and welcoming environment that they create for others to come to. Like, we had a number of people who had asked us, hey, could I come to a show in San Diego, who Tammy extended invitations to. Are you honking at someone on the road here?
Gotta honk at someone sometimes.
Gotta honk at somebody.
You gotta stay in your lane, people.
Recording a podcast and not driving responsibly.
No. I'm kidding. Driving responsibly.
I'm teasing.
My hands are at 3 and 9.
No, I'm...
And I'm podcasting.
I'm kidding.
Shannon is so earnest that when I say something that's a joke, she has to keep being like, I'm kidding. It's so sweet.
I didn't want you to think I was telling you you're doing a bad job. You're driving very well.
That's so nice of you. Thank you.
And podcasting at the same time.
You know, I'm using my directionals. I'm leaving a lot of space when I pull in front of trucks.
You're doing a good job.
Yeah.
So Jenny, I'm getting all the mom and daughters mixed up. Tammy and Jamie.
Yes. Well, it's hard because one of them is my name, and then am I talking about my husband?
And I've got tour brain. It happens.
Yep.
So they just create such a warm and welcoming environment. And so when friends of ours reached out to say, hey, could I come to a concert? Of course they welcomed them. And it was really lovely to see this amalgamation of connections. And connections forming between folks who weren't connected before that night at Tammy's house. It was really lovely.
We've been noticing that a little bit just in general on this tour. More people have been asking for invites to shows than any other previous tour already.
Interesting.
Right? And, like, we've already been seeing that. And we've seen this at previous shows already just on this little, the 5 days we've done so far of tour.
But what I love about it is, like, people are, like, exchanging information.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. They're, like, getting to know each other, not just us.
Right.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. It's so wonderful. One of the things, one of those connections that happened that was so much fun on Saturday night at Tammy and Jamie's house was that three of our previous neighbors from South Pasadena came to the show, and I had forgotten. I mean, I knew that they were each coming, but it hadn't occurred to me until everybody showed up that we all used to live next door to each other.
At the same time.
We were in the middle. Andrea was on one side, and on the other side was Joyce and Martin.
Yep.
And we all lived at the same time on that same, you know, landlord's plot.
I mean, for like 6 years.
Yeah, and so to see them, to have everybody all together in the same room again was like, wow, this is amazing.
Oh, it was the best.
It was a wonderful reunion.
Yeah.
And that was just too much fun. Yeah.
And they all seem like they're thriving, which is really great. And which honestly kind of like really speaks well of San Diego. Like Joyce and Martin seem like they're just really happy and relaxed. Like they were always just lovely and awesome.
Oh, yes.
But it seemed like LA was wearing on them. You know what I mean? They seemed just like more relaxed
and just more chill. They commute for jobs and stuff like that. And I'm sure that takes the stress off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Andrea is of course, amazing as ever.
Kicking butt.
Yes.
All hyped up.
It's wonderful. So wonderful. So that was really fun. Was there anything else about that show that stuck out to you as being a fun thing?
You know what? There was, actually. There were some young people at the show.
Yeah.
And by young people in this situation, I mean like early 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like 21, 22. And so there was a small group of them. And there was a solemnity and an emotional seriousness for me because there was for them, and it's because one of them a couple of months ago had lost a brother to suicide.
Yeah,
which I mean, I just no words. I can't imagine.
It's right? Very fresh too.
It's so fresh. Yeah, you know. But they like wanted to use the concert. It was like a really intentional thing. Like Tammy told me this, they wanted to all come together at this,
know,
as a way of like honoring the brother, you know, the deceased brother and their relationship with each other, you know, and all of that. Because a couple of them were more like friends of the brother, also friends of the surviving brother, but you know, you know, and so like it was a potentially fraught situation, I'm sure, for them. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
I imagine that waking up and breathing are potentially fraught situations for them all right now, you know? But they were just so dialed, so on board with what you were bringing, just with the overall vibe of the night and what we were hoping to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we had the best conversations with them afterwards, you know?
It's so true.
Like I did, you did, we did together. I mean, like they just lingered and we just kept hanging out and talking, and they're just amazing people.
Well, you know, can I just say, like, if you pay attention to certain voices in the media or on social media, like, millennials get a really bad rap.
Yeah.
You know, like people are really quick to... There's a certain type of person that's really quick to just take swipes at the millennial generation, you know? Which I personally think is a very unfair assessment of, you know, I think that the folks who are millennials have been handed, you know, a situation in which they're living in a world where economically it is insurmountably harder for them to get ahead than it was for our generation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And certainly harder than for, like, the boomer generation who came before us.
Yep.
You know, the amount of student debt people are carrying, the difficulty it is to pay for housing, the expense.
The impossibility of getting into ownership.
Right.
It's impossible to start families. Everything's too expensive.
Healthcare being, you know, something that can bankrupt you. You know, like they've been the planet falling to pieces.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
seriously?
Like there's all sorts of things that you can point to that I think that, you know, the millennial generation is given a really unfair bad rap, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to be a person who squashes that. And I just point to these 20 somethings who were there that night.
Are they even millennials or
maybe they're
not Gen Y? Like,
I'm not sure actually.
They're right on the edge.
That's a good point. Good question.
But
I just want to say, you know, these people were there ready to connect, open hearted, you know,
whip smart,
not concerned about the fact that, you know, some mid-40s woman was up there singing her songs with her heart on her sleeve. They were ready to engage with that and not be cynical about it.
Yep.
Like, honestly, they brought more to the table than some middle-aged folks that we've encountered along the way are able to, yeah. emotionally speaking.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, bringing themselves fully to the experience. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was great.
It was so wonderful.
They were sitting right up front, too, which must have been great for you.
It was great. It was really great. So, yeah, that was a wonderful night. So we mentioned our neighbors, which is a great segue to tease what's happening after the break. But we should take a break.
Okay.
Our neighbors, these were all South Pasadena neighbors.
Yes.
And earlier today, you and I went back and saw, for the first time since we moved, our old house and our old neighborhood. And we're going to talk all about that and all the feels that that brought up after the break. So stay tuned. I will be right back. And we'll see you then.
See you in a sec.
See you soon. We're back, by which we mean we're still on Interstate 5.
That's right. If you're wondering what specifically "and we're back" means, it means we're exactly where we were. I am still in the driver's seat. Shannon is still in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
And the sun is setting over the Central Valley.
It's lovely.
It's lovely. It's as lovely as that can be.
Yep.
You know?
But it is flat out here. There are a few spots along I-5 where we definitely have to turn the recirculating air on because mm-hmm. otherwise the car becomes overwhelmed with the smell of cow poop.
That's right. Or as our nephew said when he was like 3, poo up.
Poo up.
Cow he said poo-up. It like it was in New Yorker magazine and there was an umlaut over the second O.
Maybe he was reading the New Yorker magazine at
Maybe.
Age 4. I don't know.
My sister has smart kids.
Yeah.
It's plausible.
Yeah. Well, we are back and we are enjoying doing podcasting from the road so far. I think this is really fun, actually. It's a great way to spend car time.
What it's a wonderful way to spend car time.
I really love it.
Yeah. And the 5 is actually a perfect place for it, especially now because like traffic has been pretty light. It hasn't been too stressful.
No, not bad at all. And this is a road that we used to drive all the time. This is,
I mean, 10 times a
year. Everything about this road feels familiar. You know, I'm from Northern California. My mom still lives in Folsom, California. And so when I moved down to Los Angeles, you know, it's just a 6 or so hour drive between LA and Folsom, and mm-hmm. we would make that trip for holidays, for quick weekend trips, you know, you name it, tour, of course.
Yeah, at least 2 or 3 times on tour.
Yeah, this road is a road that we know like the back of our hand, mm-hmm. and we had another back of the hand experience earlier today when we, for the first time, went and visited South Pasadena, where we lived for 8 years.
Yeah. 8 very formative years in our relationship, in our lives.
Yes, and it was so much fun.
We
ended up getting a hotel in Pasadena.
Yeah.
And so we woke up sort of adjacent to South Pass, where we lived.
Yep.
And first thing we did was go over to our favorite cafe that where we, for a lot of years, before we started figuring out that we could make coffee at home, we would go every single day.
Every day.
To get espresso at Zona Rosa Cafe.
They still have the best espresso.
It is so freaking good.
The Zona Rosa espresso blend is just really, really great espresso.
It's so great.
Yeah.
So we went straight there. And man, just, you know, rounding the corner to where Zona Rosa was, it's like no time has passed.
At all.
It's just
our
like...
Our parking spot that we always used to prefer was open.
It's true.
I had to pull forward to the end of it because it's got a very high curb, as a lot of places in Pasadena do, so Shannon could get out, right? Because we have a car that has slightly low doors.
And it was just like the routine. That was how we always used to do it. Just all the same things.
Yeah.
It's just so...
Yeah. Luis was behind the counter.
Yeah. It was so wonderful.
It was really great.
I don't know what I was expecting because... We've been gone now for, you know, 18 months. Mm-hmm. We haven't visited that part of town. We came through LA last year, but we didn't have enough time to... And I'm not sure I was really quite ready to revisit our old stomping grounds
yet. It would have been
yet.
Too soon, I think, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, too raw, too fresh.
Yeah.
Raw is the wrong word because, like, it's not like something went wrong or was bad.
Mm-mm.
But... You know,
just have in the middle of that transition, feeling maybe a little too emotionally sensitive. Oh, hi.
Shannon dropped her microphone. People, it's okay.
It's okay.
She's gonna get it back on. Did you pull it off? What happened?
I'm not sure exactly what happened.
All right, cool. So
so yeah, you know, just wasn't sure what to expect, really. And yet, when we showed up, it was just like no time had passed. I mean, there was the movie theater we used to go to see independent films across the street.
Yep.
Our Target that we went and did an errand at, it just felt the same.
Significant upgrade. They got rid of that stupid Office Depot that was there that was always too big and a little bit weird and replaced it with a Total Wine, which is, side note, where I like to get my non-alcoholic beer, so that was cool for me. Very exciting.
Yes, very exciting.
Other than that, the neighborhood was exactly the same.
It was exactly the same. And it was just, it was comforting in a weird way. And I felt like maybe we had never left, you know? It was just really interesting. Yeah. What's going on here, Jamie?
Well, everything's fading out, Shannon.
Why is that happening, Jamie?
Well, here's why. Because this is a members exclusive episode of the Misfit Stars podcast.
The members exclusive episode means that just members of the podcast get to hear the rest of this.
Members exclusive.
Did I say that? Hey, it works. I'm going with it.
Yeah.
So yes, if you are not yet a supporting member of this podcast, you could become one.
Yeah.
And if you do that today, you could listen to the rest of this episode today.
And to be clear about this, this is our incentive that we're offering to you to become a supporting member of the Misfit Stars podcast.
Yeah.
You know, most of the podcast episodes we do, at least 50% of them are just, you know, freely available to listen to all the way through. And even this one, the first 2/3 of it are freely available to listen to. But you know what? The next part's really good. We just recorded it.
Yeah, it's
and
good.
It's really cool. We
it
get
is.
Into a really cool discussion about what home means, you know, and I thought it was really a great discussion.
Yeah, it's fun.
And so we would like to offer you, gentle listener, the opportunity with this little incentive to become a Misfit Star supporting member.
Yeah.
So all that really means is that, like, you're saying, you know what, Shannon and Jamie, I have $5 a month that I would like you to have. I want you to have a tiny amount of my power to do more good stuff in the world with. And so if you're thinking that right now, first of all, thank you. Second of all you got to do is go to misfitstars.com/join. And it takes, like, I don't know, 2.5 minutes tops. It's super simple. You sign up. Like I said, it's $5 a month. There's also higher levels if you want to get, like, a sticker sheet or an amazing t-shirt.
The t-shirts
send it to you.
Are so great.
The t-shirts are, like, my favorite t-shirt.
They're so good.
They're galactic and cool.
Yes. And, you know, for any of the support levels, you also will be invited to join our private online Facebook group.
Yeah.
And I love this group, and I love the people in it,
yep.
And we would love to have you in it.
Yeah, it's true.
So go to misfitstars.com/join
mm-hmm.
and join us. Become a star.
Thank you. We would really, really appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, people, thank you. And see you at misfitstars.com/join. And until next week, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.